Well, our bar association has had a position for many years to put procedures in place that would help eliminate wrongful convictions. And this is something that we've been working on for years. And what is really significant about this is that our bar association has really played a central role in bringing kind of two opposite sides together. The District Attorneys Association, which is obviously on the prosecution side, and the Innocence Project, which is oftentimes on the defense side. And our association played kind of a middle ground, and both sides, to find a way where both sides can reach a common ground. Both sides want to make sure that we can properly apprehend and convict those that are guilty of crimes, and also ensure that those are innocent remain so. And this proposal is unique in that it's not coming from one particular slant or the other, but both sides agree that it's going to be best for everyone if we can have these standards that oftentimes are already in place by our law enforcement officers to make them more standard procedure across the state.
It would seem that this would be standard procedure already. What's been holding it up?
Well, oftentimes it is standard procedure. This is good for law enforcement around the state, and they oftentimes are already performing many of the things that are in this proposal. What it's going to do is going to make it more of a standardized practice that's a little bit more uniform throughout the state. And so I think that's why we have our district attorneys that are in support of it, because it's something that many of them are doing, encouraging and doing already.
This just does not include videotaping. There are other aspects to this, including photo arrays. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes. The photo array portion of it is one that provides a better opportunity for individuals to make a, I think, more objective approach to photo arrays, so that under this proposal, the police officer that's performing the photo array will not necessarily know who the police's suspect is. And there's a feeling that sometimes, whether consciously or subconsciously, there might be verbal clues that are potentially given. So in this proposal, it will be more of an independent review of photo lineups.
Now that you have this agreement between the DA's Association and the Innocence Project, bartered by the New York State Bar Association, how optimistic are you that this will get through the legislature and to the governor?
Well, you know, we're already working with the legislature, and we're presenting this to the governor, and we feel very positive about it because we have people on both sides of the aisle that can come out and support this. You know, the legislative process obviously is one that has a lot of nuances to it, and we're going to all work hard on trying to get this done. We have a few weeks left in this legislative session. This can be a real win for everybody.
Tell us a bit more about this committee you're forming to review the state constitution. In November 2017, voters will decide whether or not to hold a constitutional convention, which must be done every 20 years. What is this committee going to be considering?
Well, as you indicated, every 20 years, our citizens get to decide whether to look at our state constitution, and that's going to happen in 2017. So before then, I'm going to form this committee to look at the various issues in our state constitution, just to be part of the dialogue of discussion of things that might come up. There's no preconceived agenda here. We have many very good provisions in our Constitution. Our state Constitution is different than the U.S. Constitution, and that's much more specific. Our state Constitution is seven times longer than the U.S. Constitution. It has provisions in there regarding our court structure, regarding our grand jury system, regarding financing of municipalities, regarding long-term debt of the state, regarding protecting Adirondack Parks as forever wild. So there's many specific provisions in our Constitution that have an impact on the everyday lives of our citizens. And so this committee is going to look at the various articles of the Constitution and just talk about what they are and areas in which there would be possibilities of improvement.
A constitutional amendment had to be approved to have the state legislature go paperless, to go from using paper to electronic legislation. Something that small, something that that seems a small detail in the operations of the state government. If that has to go through the Constitution, it would seem just about everything has to go through.
Well, not everything, but something. There are very many, many specific provisions that are and protections that are in our Constitution, and you've cited a good example. You know, the last time that our Constitution was revised was the 1930s. Some of the provisions of the of our Constitution are somewhat archaic, and there should be an opportunity for us to streamline our government and make it more efficient and more effective for, you know, our current day real world. When the Constitution provision that you just mentioned was made in the before, there was no such thing as online or digital, and so it made perfect sense. Some of those things that can be improved upon will be the things that our committee will be looking at.
What happens after your committee looks at this issue? They're going to come back with some recommendations, and then what then?
We'll come back with a report that will go to the association and hopefully will become the policy of the association. And then there's two things that can happen. One is that the voters decide that there should be a constitutional convention, and our association will be, I'd like to see us a major part of that dialogue. If the voters decide that there shouldn't be a constitutional convention, as they did almost 20 years ago in 1997, if there's any good ideas that come out of our review, those can be changed by the legislature through two successive houses of the legislature to act upon. So we're looking at it as kind of a win-win. If there's a constitutional convention, we'll be out in front. If it's not, we can still pursue some of these good ideas through the legislature.
Your specialty has been intellectual property law and technology law. It would seem that that's in growing section of the law. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. Well, I work for the Albany law firm of Heslin, Rothenberg, Farley, and Macedi. I'm a partner there. We're the largest intellectual property law firm in upstate New York. And, you know, our region and our state is continuing to grow in the area of intellectual property and technology. And so it's of crucial importance to both the business community as well as the law. And the developments in the law of intellectual property are changing every day. When we talked about the Constitution, for example, that, you know, the Constitution was written before we thought of digital or the Internet. Same thing with other laws. Laws of copyright and trademark are all have to be applied to our current day technology that, as you know, is changing on a daily basis.
Does technology law involve privacy? What I do on the Internet is my business and no one else's. Is that something that that you come in contact with, or is it more copyright, for example?
Well, it's copyright and trademark and patents, protection of intellectual property. Although privacy certainly has, the issues related to privacy have changed as a result of the Internet. And whenever you go online now, you're giving up information of yours. Sometimes you might not even know it. So the issue of privacy is one that's really been broadened, I think, as a result of the Internet and technology. And that's something that obviously is a concern to many of us.